Welcome. You're listening to C3 Church Hobart Online. We are so glad that you've joined us today. If this message impacts you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you very much. Hey, just as you're sitting down, high five the person next to you and say, I'm so glad to be sitting next to you today. Well, wait, this time turn to the person on your other side, your second choice. And say, you are so good looking today. Just do that for me. And you are all so good looking. So good looking. There you go. So Sharon Seipke said to me yesterday, she goes, Sam, you did bring your bionic arm, didn't you? I'm thinking, oh no, I didn't. My arm at the moment is actually in Switzerland. So it's currently getting repaired. But I feel quite armless at the moment. No, actually, I went to a second-hand shop the other day. Couldn't find one. Went to the casino, put my whole hand in. Don't you worry, I've got a lot more up my sleeve. So, All right, I want you to turn to your Bibles, please. Just anywhere, it's all good. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. I'm going to read from the King James Version here this morning. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. I want to read one other verse here. And this verse here, right there, is in Luke chapter 15. Verse 18. Luke chapter 15, verse 18. Here, I'll read from the screen. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, wait there, that's actually the wrong, just bear with me. Let's have a look here. Chapter 15, verse 18. Here. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. You know, one thing I like, actually, look, let me very quickly go back to verse 17 very quickly. I love this line here, verse 17 of Luke chapter 15. It says here, and when he came to himself, he said, when he came to himself. There's another version that says when he came to his senses. Today I'm going to be talking about arise, shine, for your light has come. I believe it's now time for us to shine. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's now time for you to shine. It's now time, here, I'll just leave it. It's now time for you to shine. Yeah, one thing I found, though, is that how do you shine? How do you arise and shine? And I love this whole word around arise. You know, sometimes we need to arise outside of our circumstances, arise outside of our problems, our issues, our crisis, our adversities. Arise outside of family situations or financial turmoil, or maybe even just tough times that are going on in our life. So a few years ago, I was working for the Australian Federal Government as a youth futurist. I was living up there in Launceston. And for those people that don't know, around 17 years ago, my wife and I, here in Hobart, we came along to a Christian city church here in Hobart, and we both gave our lives to Christ. And a couple of years later, we actually then moved up there through to Launceston, and we were actually part of C3 Launceston Church plant initially. And so from there, I was doing a lot of youth work there for the church, as well as also music. But I was also working for the Australian Federal Government as a youth futurist. They gave me this big V8 Statesman, like a big car, right? And I remember this one morning, I woke up and I said goodbye to my wife and my kids, and I drove from Launceston through to Devonport, and Devonport through to a place called Burnie. And here I am in Burnie, and then went out and had some lunch with a really good friend of mine. And we went to my favourite restaurant, you know, right down there on the waterfront. You know, you can see right over the whole of Bass Strait, one of the nicest places I like to eat. Great food, great company, great view. The restaurant was called KFC. So here I am at KFC. I then said goodbye to my mate, and you know, and then I drove from Burnie through to back through to Devonport. There was a place just out of Devonport, a place called Parramatta Creek. And it was my fault. I fell asleep. I veered over the other side of the road at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the police said I had a 206-kilometre head-on collision with a semi-trailer truck. I'll give you an idea of the impact. The steering wheel of my car was underneath the passenger seat. My elbow was ripped from my arm, was 25 metres away from the car. I had 6 broken ribs, lacerated liver, punctured kidney. Both my lungs had collapsed at the same time. I broke my hip. I lost my entire quad on the road, lost a lot of my femur, lost my kneecap, broke my fibula, broke my ankle. I actually grabbed this right now inside my leg. I still have 2 metal rods. I have 4 plates, and I've got 21 bolts, 21 screws inside my leg. I've probably got more metal in my leg than what I do normal bone. You should see the x-rays. Actually, you should see me go through airports. I remember the noise of the impact woke me up. So I was actually quite awake and quite alert. And at one stage there was a whole heap of other cars that had stopped there on the freeway, and they were running over towards my car. And here I'm lying in my car, the entire right side of the car had been ripped off, you know, together literally with half my body. Yet I was awake and quite alert. And there might have been at this stage maybe about a dozen, maybe half a dozen people now that were standing outside of my car. And I remember so clearly the look that these people gave me. And it was a look like, this guy's not going to make it. You know, this guy's going to die right here. You know, they could see the condition on my body. They could see what I'd lost. You know, I can tell you something now. It was a really hard moment in my life. And after about 18 minutes, I was then told that I'd lost consciousness. I was then told that I'd stopped breathing. And right there at 3:06 in the afternoon, just a few years ago, my heart stopped. Right there for 3.5 minutes, the paramedics pronounced me dead. Now, I didn't know I was going to die that day. I didn't know that that could have been the last time that I was going to see my loved ones, my mates, my friends, my colleagues, my family. You know, sometimes things don't go according to plan. But one thing I've found is through my massive adversities and my crisis, I just cannot take life or even my family for granted. And so obviously, the ambulance came over to me. They managed to resuscitate me. Obviously, I'm still alive today. Duh. I was then on life support for a week, in hospital for 5 months, and then in a wheelchair for an entire year. The doctor said I'll never be able to walk ever again. I'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. Now, at first, I was in a state of denial. I'm thinking, man, this hasn't happened to me. I haven't really had a car accident. It's okay. I'm going to wake up from this nightmare. You know, Sam, you haven't really lost your arm. You haven't really wrecked your leg. It's okay. You're in this movie. It's going to enter in this nightmare. It's going to finish for 2 days. I was in a complete and utter state of denial. And then realizing what had happened, I remember going through pillow after pillow just simply for my tears. And I remember my little girl, she was 4 years old at the time, and last time she saw Daddy, the last time she saw me, I was throwing her up in the air with both arms. We were running, we were skipping, and suddenly here I am, lame in a bed with only one arm. I didn't know how she's going to react. I didn't know how she's going to accept Daddy for what had happened. And I remember so clearly staring at the door, just waiting for her to come in there in the hospital room. And then suddenly I remember seeing these two tiny little hands. She grabbed hold of the door like this and she peered in and her eyes just met. And she ran into the hospital room. Tears are running down my face and she jumped up on the bed and she goes, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 did you have a car accident?" And I said, "Yeah, I had a car accident." And she goes, "And Daddy, 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 did you lose your arm in the accident?" And I said, "Yeah, I lost it. I lost it. I lost my arm." And she goes, "And Daddy, 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 the doctors, they couldn't find it anywhere." She literally thought they just had to find my arm, sticker tape fixes everything, Dad. But one thing I needed to do and really realize is that no matter what I felt at the time, no matter how much of a victim of that accident that I might have felt, I needed to realize that I needed to arise outside of that. But one thing I didn't know is, how do I arise? Like, here I am, I'm now suddenly faced with a brand new reality. I've got one arm and one good leg. And the doctor said to me, initially, I'll never be able to walk. So literally the day before, here I'm running around, I was fit and healthy, and then suddenly I lose my most dominant arm. How do I arise out of this? Like, I know sometimes in our life, we might find that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We might find that whatever we're going through right now, whether it's a relationship breakdown, whether it's a death of a loved one, I don't know what you're feeling right now. You might be feeling sad, depressed, lonely. You might be feeling that you've got so much financial worry in your life that you might feel as if that no one loves you, or you don't feel as if that you're not good enough, or you feel as if that you're not worthy, or you feel as if no one loves you. I don't know what goes on in your world, but how do we arise? How do we find light at the end of the tunnel? And so today I'm going to share with you some areas that have really helped me get through my tough times. And I can tell you something now, we've all had tough times. We can try and compare our tough time with someone else, but it's not about comparing. It's about looking yourself in the mirror and start thinking, where is God in this? It's about looking yourself in the mirror and how do I personally get through this right now? So today I'm going to give you three ways to help you to arise. Three ways to really help you to come to your senses and arise. So the first one is this. Things happen for a reason and a purpose. Things happen for a... Now, look, research will tell me that in exactly 2 weeks' time, less than 50% of you will remember more than two things from today's conversation unless you write this down. So do me a favor, get out your phone or get out a notepad and pen, and I would love for you to write some of this down. Take some of this away with you, yeah? So write this down. So the first thing is this. Things happen for a reason and a purpose. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 it says, there is a time for everything, a reason and a purpose. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 it talks about, he is in all things and through all things. Things happen for a reason. You know, sometimes we actually don't know what that reason is. But things happen. Like, I get it. Like, let's even take us back to when we were young kids. Let's say, for example, your father said, "Hey, son," or "Hey, daughter, you need better grades." But then suddenly, we actually create this story around that or this negative belief to think that, wait a sec, I'm not good enough. Now, the only thing that has happened is that your dad said that you needed better grades. But we create this story or this negative belief around that to say that we're not good enough. Let's say, for example, that something happened. Let's say you didn't get invited to a party. Let's say like your next door neighbor or your mate or your friend or something, you know, they had this party, but you didn't get invited to that. So what happened was, all that happened was you just didn't get invited to a party. But suddenly we create this story around it, or we create this limiting belief around it to think that no one likes me. And then suddenly then we go around life thinking no one likes me. I didn't get invited to this party, or, you know, I'm not good enough because my dad said I need a better grades, or whatever it is. So now all of a sudden we feel like that, you know, no one likes us, or I'm not good enough. Or let's say, for example, that the your boss at work, he actually said, hey, this project, this thing that you've done, you know, I want you to do it again. I didn't like it. So all that happened was your boss said, look, what you did here wasn't quite good enough. And then suddenly then we think, or we create this story that, you know, I'm not valued. And let's say, for example, let's say your partner said, you know, look, we need to talk. And suddenly we create this story to think, oh my gosh, you're like, I'm in trouble, yeah? Let's say, for example, when you're a young kid, that let's say your mum's didn't hug you. And then suddenly then we create this story around that to think, I'm not loved. You know, the three of the greatest ways I believe that the devil will attack us is through three greatest fears, right? It's the fear of not being loved. It's the fear of not being good enough. And it's the fear of not belonging. It's the fear of not being loved. I don't feel loved. No one loves me. The fear of not being good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to preach on stage, or I'm not good enough to get a raise, or I'm not good enough to, you know, have this person in my life, or I'm not good enough. And then I don't belong. No, you know, I don't belong anywhere. You know, the three of the greatest ways that the devil will attack us. And then suddenly then we create these little things in our life. So the first thing, I believe, is that things happen for a reason and a purpose. But initially, we don't know why. We actually don't know why, but things happen. Number two, his ways, not our ways. I love this. His ways, not our ways. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 says, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, recently I was reading about different animals in different animal groups. You know how they have names, like a group of bees is called a swarm. A group of cattle is called a herd. A group of lions is called a pride. Yeah, a group of crows is called a murder of crows. Have a guess what a group of flamingos are called? Flamboyance. Flamboyance, a flamingo, a group of jellyfish. You know what a group of jellyfish are called? A smack. A smack of jellyfish. I love that. A group of buzzards, actually, you business people like this. A group of buzzards is called a committee. A committee of buzzards. But my favorite out of all the different group of animals is a group of rhinos. Now, get this right. Rhinos can run over 45 kilometers an hour, but they can only see 9 meters in front of them. So do you know what a group of rhinos are called? A crush. A crush of rhinos. I love that. And sometimes things don't go according to plan. But one thing I realized, that it is his ways, not our ways. It's his thoughts, not our thoughts. You know, we don't know why things have happened in our life. We don't know. Like sometimes we think it's not fair. We don't know why we're going through this tough time in our life. We don't know that. I didn't know why I had to have a car accident. I didn't know why I had to lose an arm. But I do know that things happen for a reason and a purpose. And I do know that it's his ways, not my ways. You know, sometimes it's hard to accept that. It really is. All right. This is the third one. Write this down if you can. Third one. I love this. Third one is this, trust in him. Trust in him. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your own heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You know, we don't understand, but all we are called to do is just to trust in him. You know, it was one of the hardest things for me going through, you know, my whole rehabilitation. And one of the main reasons is because my entire rehabilitation team, their focus for me was to get me back to that same job, back to that same environment. You know, like this, my occupational therapist, physios, you know, doctors, nurses, etc. Their entire focus was to get me back to that. But something had changed, right? Not only physically, but also emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. I was no longer focused on going back. And I knew there was something greater in my life. I knew there was something deep down within that said, there's still more. There's more in my life. There's more for me to do. I realized that I literally overcame death for a reason and a purpose, but I didn't know what. And it wasn't until such time as I was literally on my knees saying, God, I know this happened for a reason and a purpose, but I don't know why. God, I know it's your ways and not my ways, but just help me. And it wasn't until such time as I just trusted in him. I just had to trust in him. Hey guys, I can't do it in my, I can't do this by my own. I can't overcome my adversity by myself. I can't overcome, you know, I have a thing which is called phantom pain, right? Get this. If I close my eyes, I can still feel every single one of my fingers. I can feel my wrist and my elbows if it's all still there. But it's not. It's called phantom pain. Sometimes it'll wake me up in the middle of the night because it's so painful. Let me give you an idea of what it's like. You know when you lean against your leg or against your arm for ages and ages and ages and get that really bad pins and needles, yeah? You want to stretch that out, allow that circulation back through. Imagine the worst pins and needles that you've ever had in your entire life. Times that by 100, that's how my arm feels 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's called cognitive disassociation, which basically means what you focus on is what you get. So for me, I could focus on what's wrong. You know, like, get this, my leg physically doesn't bend at all. So I'll never be able to bend my leg. So, you know, I can't go for a jog. I can't ride a bike. It's hard for me to sit in a car, in a theater, in a plane. I'm 6'3", and my leg physically does not bend. But I choose to focus on the good things in life. I get disability parking spots. How cool is that? Yeah. I get free upgrades on planes all the time, you know? It's what you focus on. So for me, I could focus on what's wrong with me. I could focus on my problems. I could focus on my pain. We could focus on our depression or our sadness or our financial issues. What you focus on is what you get. So all I needed to focus on, hey God, I just can't do this by myself. I need you. All I'm called to do is just to trust in you. That's it. I can't do this on my own. I've got to trust you. I've got no other option. And the most amazing thing is this, is that through that, I then went on to become a professional speaker. Today, I've now spoken in 36 countries around the world. I've spoken on stage with President Bill Clinton, Dalai Lama, Richard Branson, Michael Jordan. I've written 7 books, including a New York Times international bestseller. And I say this because it's not me. It's through me. It's not me. It's through me. It's not me, but through me. Not me, but through me. You know what I chant before I get up on stage? I chant. In my mind, I literally chant, and all I say, and literally, like before I get up on some really big mega stages, right? I've been on stage in front of 18,000 people. I regularly, nearly every week, speak to thousands of people every single week, and you know, I get nervous because a lot of the time the devil attacks me. He says, "Sam, you're not good enough. Sam, you're not worthy. Sam, who do you think you are that you can speak to these people?" So, you know, all I do is chant to myself, thinking it's not me but through me, 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 not me but through me. Do me a favor, start chanting to yourself, not me but through me, not me but it's just through him. That's it. It's actually pretty simple. All right, now let's come back. Let's come back in a moment to coming to our senses, right? Come to our senses. You know, one of the greatest ways that I needed to come to my senses was to actually start looking at ways how I can have more forgiveness conversations. Because I was holding on to unforgiveness in my life. I was holding on, you know, I thought it was either other people's fault, or let's say, for example, someone might have offended me, or whatever it might be. And yes, look, it's all great to, you know, trust in him and, you know, trust in Jesus and so on and so forth. But you know something, I still had baggage. I had baggage that I needed to deal with. I had things in my life where I was holding on to unforgiveness, whether it was grudges with other people or whether it's just simply, you know, a forgiveness conversation with my parents or with my brother or with my boss or with someone that I just simply had a fight with or whatever it is. And I believe, get this, is the only way to come to your senses is to have a forgiveness conversation. The only way to come to your senses is to have a forgiveness conversation. You know, the prodigal son, all he thought was, I need to say sorry to my dad. I need to say sorry. I need to say sorry. We need to take responsibility for our side. You know, it's so easy to point the finger as saying it's other people's fault. It's so easy to actually, you know, we could realize that things happen for a reason. We can realize it's not our ways, but his ways. We can also realize that we can trust in him. But ultimately, the greatest way to come to your senses is to start completing those that unforgiveness that you might have in your life. Those people that you think, oh, wait a sec, I'm actually have ill feelings towards another person. Oh, wait a sec, I still have something in my life that I haven't dealt with yet. And one of the greatest ways is have a moment of bravery, have a moment of courage, and to learn to forgive. It's the greatest way to feel free. It is the greatest way to move forward in your life when you're not carrying baggage. So for me, all throughout, you know, in those first few years of me speaking, I realized that I still felt nervous on stage, and I'm thinking, why? And I realized I was incongruent. I still had some unforgiveness, so I had to then go out and have some forgiveness conversations. I needed to come to my senses. I needed to really start saying sorry to people. I'm sorry for offending you that time. I'm sorry for the way that I feel right now. I am sorry. You know, it's such a powerful, powerful thing to do, to feel really free inside yourself. So today, my encouragement to you would be to arise and shine, for your light has come. Because the glory of the Lord is always going to be there. But we now need to arise outside of our circumstance, outside of our problems, outside of our situations. You know, I constantly get attacked all the time from people, whether it's in social media or people that say, hey, Sam, why do you think you're qualified to do this? Like, here's a bit of a disclaimer, ready? I was kicked out of high school, so I'm actually quite uneducated in the traditional sense. I failed at English. Isn't that interesting? Now I've written 7 books. But, you know, I did not study at university. I've never sat an exam before in my entire life. Yet there's always been something deep within me that says, Sam, there is more. And it's now time for you to shine. It's now time for you to arise outside of your situations. I get it. We have tough times. But now it's time to arise. Now it's time for you to shine here today. Come on, let's shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord shines upon you. You know, I'm going to finish with one more story. I'm part of a large family, right? So my mum's Indian, born in Kolkata in India. Father's Scottish, born in Edinburgh in Scotland. My mum is here in the front row. And yeah, she is the most amazing woman on the planet. And for those people that don't know, we had a huge tragedy about a month ago, where we lost my father, and it was really, really tough for us. And Mum, on behalf of our family, Mum and Dad have been together for 50 years, over 50 years, been married for over 50 years. Mum, you're an amazing woman. Can we just acknowledge you? So yeah, we do have a large family, and I've also got this younger brother. His name is David, and he's the youngest in our family of 11. Have you guys noticed the youngest in the family is always the most loved? Yeah, it's true. You know it's right. You know it's true. So my younger brother, you know, me and him, we hang out all the time. He's a really cool friend, really good mate. But recently he was diagnosed with cancer, leukemia, and it was really hard me seeing him go through radiation, chemo, lost all his hair, everything like that. I had the same blood match as him, so I donated my own bone marrow to my brother. And we're believing, David, mate, you're going to make it through, you're going to be fine. Many of you know he passed away a few years ago. And it was really tough, me seeing my younger brother, you know, or let me say, you know, seeing the rest of our family going through really, really difficult times over the last few years. But you know something, things don't go according to plan. We can plan to go in one direction, but life situations, life circumstances will take us in a complete different direction. And yes, there's a time for trauma, there's a time for sadness, yes, there is a time for grieving, but there's also a time for us to arise. There's a time for us to say, hey, look, it's now time for me to, it's not about letting go, but it's now time for me to say, hey, let's now time for us to arise outside of our circumstances, outside of our situations, outside of our tough times, for us to arise and shine. There are so many people out there that are suffering from the things that you've already overcome. There are people out there right now that have not overcome the things that you've already overcome. There are people out there right now that are searching for knowledge that you already have. It's now time for you to arise and shine and make more of a difference in the world. It's now time for you to arise and shine and make more of a difference in the world. So right now, guys, I want to pray for two groups of people. I want to pray for one group of people, first of all, who, can we actually have the team? Thank you. Do me a favor, turn to the person next to you and just say, arise, shine. Just do that for me. Yeah. Wow. You know, you guys are really good looking, I just wanted to say. I'd like to pray for two groups of people here this morning. Now, the first group of people are those people that might actually be holding on to some unforgiveness in your life. Those people that have actually found it really hard to arise, have found it really hard to shine. And you know what I believe? I believe the reason for that is because there's still unforgiveness. There's still some forgiveness conversations that need to take place. So I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to pray that you will find it within yourself to have a forgiveness conversation, to say sorry. Those people that you're not talking to for a while, or maybe something you're just holding on, a grudge or whatever it is, I really want to pray that you will find bravery and courage this morning to get on the phone and say, I'm sorry for that. I've now realized that there has been something stuck in my life. I've realized that I'm not really being authentic with who I am, and I'm really sorry for what happened. I'm really sorry. I now take responsibility. So I want to pray for those people. And if you can see in your life that you do have some level of unforgiveness in your world right now, I would invite you just to simply, actually, what I'll do, I'll get everyone just to close their eyes for me. Thank you. And the reason why we ask you to close your eyes is just to stop all the distraction. So this first group of people, the people that are really holding on to this unforgiving, and maybe it's a subconscious thing, maybe you don't even realize, but now you think, wow, there are some people that I have ill feelings towards. There are some people that I don't really am open and honest to, or maybe some people out there, and you know, a lot of the time it can be our family, but maybe you're holding on to some unforgiveness today. And if that is you here this morning, I would invite you, just an acknowledgement to yourself and to me with all eyes closed, I invite you right at the count of three for you to just simply put your hand up, and I'd love to pray for you for bravery and courage. One, two, three. Everyone, put your hand up if you find yourself. That's great. I can now see about 30, 40 hands going up around the auditorium. That's awesome. I'll get you now to put your hands down. And right now, I'm just going to pray for forgiveness. Lord God, I just pray right now for the people that have acknowledged this morning that there's still something in their life that they need to let go of. There's something in their life where they need a moment of bravery and courage for them to have a forgiveness conversation. And Lord God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will evoke bravery and courage into their life, that they will take action here this morning, that when the moment arises over the next day or two, that they will get on the phone or they'll have a meeting with this other person or maybe even write them a letter and just say, I'm sorry. I ask for your forgiveness. I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will evoke bravery into these people so they can take action here this morning in Jesus' name. Now, with every eye closed here this morning, there's one more group of people I want to pray for, and this is the most important group this morning. And I believe it's now time for you to make a decision. And maybe you felt a bit disconnected of late. Maybe you feel as if you've got so many questions and you haven't really made a solid decision to choose Jesus as your Christ and Savior. Maybe you're navigating things and you're searching, but you've found that there's been this real disconnect. And this morning I ask you for a moment of bravery. And with every eye and with every head bowed, right now I pray that the people here in the room that have not made that decision yet, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. And the reason why we ask you to do that is not because everyone's going to see you, because everyone's eyes are going to be closed anyway, but it's more about acknowledging to yourself that today is the day that you're going to make a decision for Christ. You're going to make a decision that you're going to trust in Him. That you can no longer do things in your own strength. You can no longer try and work things out in your own way. Today is your day to make a decision towards Jesus being your Savior and your friend. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, at the count of three, I'll get you to put your hand up if today is your day. 1, 2, 3. Put your hand up right now if this is your day that you're going to make a decision. I can see 4, 5, 6 hands go up. This is great. I'm just going to give you one more moment. If you've got that urge right now deep within that says, yes, this is the day, I'm now going to have a moment of bravery. Is there any more people here in the room that says, today is the day that I'm going to trust in Him, that I can't do it anymore by myself, that I'm just going to trust in Him? Is there any other hands here in the room here this morning? Great. Well done. I'll hand it through to you and let's pray for him.
Thank you. Fantastic. Just as we're standing, can I ask that we all stand? Right where we are, we'll all stand. We're going to pray for these people. For those people there, can I have our pastoral care team? For those who raise their hands, can I have a pastoral care team to get around these people, please? Because we're going to pray for them in what it can be the most important prayer. Because this is a day where they've been bold. They've said, we want to arise and shine. No matter where they're at in their position in life, for those who raise their hands, if you can just raise your hands again, there's pastoral care team people, and there was a couple down the back here, there was a few over here. Just raise your hands again so our pastoral care team people can see you. Fantastic. Over here, there's one over here. You know what? We just want to say thank you. Because today you have said, I'm going to arise and shine no matter the circumstance in my life. Just right there, this pastoral care team around you, they want to get around you and pray with you. I'm going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for these people. We want to thank you. If you're into praying, pray with us right now. We thank you, Lord God, for those who have said today, we are going to arise and shine. I am going to walk out of this building different to what I walked in this morning. No matter my circumstances, no matter what I'm facing, I put my trust in you. Lord God, we thank you for these 5, 6 people who have said that I will put my trust solely in you. Lord God, I pray as the devil will try and come in and take some ground back. Heavenly Father, we know that you have all the ground. And Lord God, we pray right now as they find a peace in this, that they will celebrate as we hear, we know that you will celebrate in heaven, and we celebrate with them. And we pray this in your mighty name. Let's give these.
Thank you for listening to C3 Church Hobart Online. If you have been impacted by this message, had an encounter with Christ, or would like us to pray for you, please contact us. To find out more about our church and to stay connected, go to c3hobart.org.au.